Why is our Constitution made for a moral and religious people and is wholly inadequate to the government of any other? Because a people lacking in virtue could be counted on to trade away their liberty for protection.
Dr. Robert George of Princeton University speaking on the Constitution and civic virtue at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
For financial prosperity or economic security, for comfort, for being looked after, by being given stuff by the government, for being taken care of, for having their problems solved quickly. Adams and really smart people like Adams realize that there are always going to be people, politicians, demagogues, who are out there saying, all you've got to do is give up your liberty and we're going to make you really happy.
You can watch an on-demand video stream of this year's Making the Case conference for a gift of $300 to Issues Etc. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Here is the headline from Politico. The GOP waves white flag in same-sex marriage wars. The Republican Party has moved on from one of the most seminal culture debates, even as evangelicals fume. Well, if you read through this story, you might get the impression that the Republican Party has given up on same-sex marriage. It was opposed, but now it's just going with the flow. Is that true? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about the GOP and same-sex marriage, Brian Brown. He's president of the National Organization for Marriage. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us about a tweet from Republican National Committee Chair Ronna McDaniel, and what's your reaction?
Well, during so-called Pride Week, Ronna McDaniel went ahead and sent out a tweet, you know, undermining the GOP's own position, basically saying, celebrating same-sex marriage and Pride Week. And after that tweet was sent out, there was a number of more liberal news outlets were in glee saying, you know, the GOP has capitulated on same-sex marriage and on the family and is actually going against its own platform statements. But the fundamental reality is that it wasn't only me and members of our organization, National Organization for Marriage, that were upset. The overwhelming majority of GOP members, the rank and file, the grassroots were upset. And there was a pretty big backlash against it. And we haven't seen anything to that degree since that tweet.
Have the advocates of same-sex marriage essentially won the debate? And if so, how?
Well, the reality is that even though state after state, even California and after California, North Carolina, by a huge majority, not that long ago, only a few years ago, voted to protect marriage as the union of a man and woman, we had our Supreme Court step in. And I think that given the trajectory and constant push on the part of elites and more liberal media and all of the almost any institution that has power pushing for same-sex marriage, we shouldn't be surprised that we've seen a decline in polling in support of traditional marriage. But the reality is it was the Supreme Court that forced this on this country, not the people. So I do think that what primarily has occurred is what we saw during the Proposition 8 fight in California. If you poll people on the question, we were supposed to lose. But if people have the chance to vote privately, what's essentially happening is cancel culture, the attacks on donors, is leading some people to be quiet and not to say what they really think. But I think that there's still a very strong base of this country, especially the Republican Party, that continues to oppose same-sex marriage and realizes that what we were saying for years is all coming to fruition. It didn't end with putting the lie of same-sex marriage in the law. We're now on to teaching kindergartners about transgenderism, attempting to cancel any business that isn't celebrating, you know, every day, Pride Week. The reality is that everything that we claim would happen has happened and more. I mean, we're even seeing attacks on churches and religious institutions that refuse to recognize same-sex marriage. And the courts are in on the game. So it's a stacked deck, and people need to have a very strong backbone to stand up for what they know is true, and that is that it takes a man and a woman to make a marriage, and that's fundamental to the future of our society and country.
Whatever happened to the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA?
Well, again, the Supreme Court, just with the wave of a hand, said DOMA is not constitutional anymore. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You can get into the nitty gritty of the arguments that the court would make. You can get into the fact that the court has imagined and created out of thin air a fundamental right to define one's own existence and to marry who one wants to marry. But the reality is that same-sex marriage was never in our law. It was not a part of the Constitution, and it was not something demanded by federal law, the 14th Amendment, or anything else. It was essentially a will to power. It was, we will use the courts to accomplish our ends regardless of what the law is, and we're living with the sad legacy of that.
Are the American people comfortable with same-sex marriage?
Well, I think that there is a very strong and perhaps majority that are uncomfortable. But they've, as I said earlier, they are increasingly attacked, maligned, whether it's social media or whether it's even stronger attempts to destroy people's businesses and livelihoods. There are real effects of standing up for the truth of marriage. So I think people are, unfortunately, some people are being quiet or not saying exactly what they believe about this question. But I'm very confident that in most states, if there was a vote right now, we would still win. Marriage would still win. The problem is that it's been short-circuited, taken out of the arena of public debate and the arena of being able to vote at the ballot box, especially, and the courts have just preempted this. And it has not ended well. There are a lot of people that are suffering. We were told that with same-sex marriage, it wouldn't affect anyone. We'll tell that to the churches that are attacked, the schools that are told that they can't only hire people who believe what a Christian church teaches, that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. Baron L. Stutzman in Washington State, who's fined because she won't use her talents to make a floral bouquet for a same-sex wedding. Jack Phillips in Colorado, who's told he has to make a cake for a same-sex wedding again and again and again. But what we're seeing is not a free, open, fair debate, but an attempt to silence those of us who stand for the truth of marriage and to basically push us to the periphery of public life. We need to refuse to do that, continue to stand up for the truth of marriage, and work to stop further legislation or court attacks on the institution, especially the Equality Act, which would just be a disaster for freedom of association, for free speech, for religious liberty. And that is currently before Congress. Luckily, doesn't look like right now there are the votes to pass that, but it's close. And we need to raise up our voices and continue to stand for the truth, even when it looks like it's a difficult situation. And again, it isn't an accident that it is the very liberal media that are most gleeful and saying that the Republicans have abandoned same-sex marriage. That's not the truth. There's always been a fight within the Republican Party between elites, between those in Washington, D.C., and the base. And if you go to Republican Party grassroots meetings across the country, there still remains very strong commitment, by and large, to one of the key aspects of the platform, that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, that remains strong. So I think that the news about the death of social conservatives has been greatly exaggerated. And I think that the reason that you're hearing it from the mostly liberal media is because they want us to believe that it's true. It's not true.
How would you describe Republican opposition to same-sex marriage before Obergefell?
Well, it was very strong. There was very strong opposition to same-sex marriage with the grassroots. We were betrayed by many of the more elite within the Republican Party that just wanted to capitulate on the issue. You had Vice President Dick Cheney come forward and say he now supports same-sex marriage. You had multiple examples of folks that weren't willing to stand on this issue. But again, I don't think the situation is as different as some might claim. There is a difference with the Supreme Court weighing in. Of course, that makes it much more difficult. We don't have the avenue of a public vote anymore, but it doesn't mean that opposition to same-sex marriage has just fallen apart. Again, the public polling has never been particularly accurate on this issue. It definitely wasn't accurate in the states that passed amendments to protect marriage as the union of a man and a woman. So we shouldn't expect it to be accurate now. Has there been movement? Yeah. Some people don't want to say that they're against same-sex marriage, and some people's minds may have changed. But I do think that what we're seeing with the assault on religious liberty, the transgender agenda, what's going on in public schools as far as trying to compel students in their speech and actions to support LGBTQIA issues is starting to get some people to realize, look, this has gone way too far, and we were not throwing out red herrings when we were saying there would be real consequences. They're all happening right in front of our eyes. So we're in a difficult position, very difficult position, but it doesn't change the truth. We need to keep standing up for the truth, whether it's easy or not.
We're talking about the GOP and same-sex marriage. Brian Brown is our guest president of the National Organization for Marriage. On the other side, what was the thinking of the Obergefell majority on the Supreme Court?
They want to, you know, defend me to the U.S. Supreme Court, file a petition, let's go ahead. You know, the worst that could happen is they say, nope, we don't hear you, and you officially lose. But one of the attorneys informed me that, no, the worst that could happen is they take your case and then you lose.
Colorado baker Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop speaking at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
And I realized that this case was so much more than just, do I get to go back to making the cakes that I love to make and, you know, working with the customers that I like? It became clear to me that this was a case about every American's right to live and work according to their conscience without fear of punishment from the government. The government was punishing me for living my faith in the marketplace.
For a contribution of $300, you can watch an on-demand video stream of Jack Phillips' presentation and all of the speakers at this year's conference. Find out more at issuesetc.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In all things, across the nation, children are back in over 1,800 Lutheran schools. Students are thriving in programs of excellence in safe, caring, Christian environments taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. Contact a school today for information about a Lutheran school for the children in your family. That's lcms.org/schools.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
You can watch presentations from this year's Making the Case conference featuring Dr. Robert George, Mark and Molly Hemingway, Jack Phillips, Dr. Larry Rast, and Pastor Brian Wolf Miller. We'll send you a link to an on-demand video stream for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. Find out more at issuesetc.org or give us a call 618-223-8385. Brian Brown, president of the National Organization for Marriage, is our guest. The GOP and same-sex marriage is our topic. Brian, what was the thinking of the Obergefell majority on the Supreme Court?
Well, that is a very good question. Again, this was we're talking a 5-4 decision. This was not some sort of overwhelming decision on the part of the justices. I think that the majority, the thinking was that they were willing and believed that there wouldn't be a sufficient enough backlash to push this on the country. The internal logic in the actual case itself attempts to claim all sorts of things about equality, about the ability to the fact that rights are being removed. But come on, we know that's not true. People's rights aren't being removed because you can't marry 3, 4, or 5 people, although people aren't claiming that. Marriage is something, and the court utterly failed the majority. Again, it's very slim one-person majority, failed to understand that marriage has some intrinsic meaning. It's not just a construct of the state. The court essentially saw marriage only as a construct of the state. It's not. Marriage has its own meaning. It has its own internal definition. It is something. And it's not the state's right, nor was the state correct in its interpretation of the law that somehow the 14th Amendment required redefining marriage for the whole country.
What do you make of the comparison that many critics of natural marriage make that, well, this is bigotry to forbid or to talk about restricting marriage to one man and one woman is essentially the same thing as opposing interracial marriage?
Well, it's absolutely wrong. Laws against interracial marriage were about keeping the sexes apart. Marriage is itself about bringing them together. Of course, some states and some jurisdictions in the history of the world have attempted to limit marriage by race, especially over the last 300 years. Those were fundamentally evil attempts to, again, keep male and female apart. They have nothing to do with the intrinsic nature of what marriage is. So the comparison makes absolutely no sense. And it just shows you how far relativism has gone in warping our public consciousness that people think that this is actually a good argument. What marriage is based on is the fundamental biological reality of male and female. And as we predicted, once you say that that plays no role in marriage, you're essentially stripping the biological reality of male and female from the law. So we predicted that you would have the issue of transgenderism rise to the fore, that if a man says, I'm a woman now, how can anyone say, no, that's not true? Even more liberal citizens are increasingly realizing this is a Pandora's box. You can't just wake up one day and say, hey, I'm a woman and I'm a woman. There is objective reality. And what same-sex marriage is essentially relativizing one of the most basic human truths, that we are male and female. And once you did that, there was, you don't have to guess at why we started having a further deconstruction of the very idea of sex being a reality. It's now deconstructed to be whatever we want it to be. And again, the people that remain that are willing to speak up for truth and say, no, no, men are men, women are women. No, no, there is a difference. No, men shouldn't be in women's restrooms. No, they shouldn't be competing in women's sports. The reason that they're hit with such anger and are attacked so viciously is because this is at the root of the whole idea of same-sex marriage. Once you accept that there's a fundamental reality to male and female, the whole house of cards of the idea of same-sex marriage falls down.
What has happened since Obergefell?
Well, we've seen there are so many different changes that have occurred in law and in policy. What it has done primarily is speed up the religious liberty attacks on churches, on Christians especially. We're seeing that across the country, meaning that, you know, if you have a Christian school, are you now allowed to only hire teachers who believe marriage is the union of a man and a woman? If you have a Christian school, what happens when you fire a teacher, even though you made it explicit from the beginning that you had to believe in the core tenets of Christianity, including that God made us both male and female, that if you're a teacher and you disagree with that, are you allowed to sue the school? Well, that's happening. Are you allowed to sue individuals who refuse to recognize same-sex marriages? Are you allowed to fire them? What happens with, again, I brought up so-called transgender students in schools. If I say I'm a man and I'm say I'm a boy, I want to run on the boys' track team, can you stop me? I say I'm a girl, I want to run in the girls. I mean, what is the end of all of this? It's continued a assault on the anthropological, spiritual, biological reality of maleness and femaleness. That has greatly accelerated in the wake of Obergefell.
What has happened on the issue of same-sex marriage and all the attending issues you mentioned there during the Trump administration?
Well, I will say that while the Trump administration wasn't perfect, it was much, much better than the Obama administration and much, much better than President Biden's administration. Even though he hasn't been in office that long, we've seen a tremendous turnaround. One of the key things that occurred was that the Trump administration was quite willing to pull back globally from pushing same-sex marriage and general LGBT issues on foreign countries as if it was in our national interest. I mean, we would have our embassies flying the rainbow flag, upsetting allies across the world saying, we don't accept same-sex marriage. We had Trump pull back from pushing this agenda internationally. Again, he wasn't perfect, but the administration was much, much more willing to question the sort of elite assumptions that America should be using its moral force around the world to advance these issues. Again, I would argue that it was actually an immoral force, but that is now back full bore with President Biden. So Trump was a respite from these same-sex marriage and other issues, transgender issues being the front burner. He made some very good decisions on transgenderism in the military through executive order and was definitely focused and had members of his administration quite focused on religious liberty. And especially when religious liberty conflicted with the so-called same-sex marriage. That's all gone now. And now we're back to, this is one of the top priorities of the administration to advance same-sex marriage and LGBT issues in general, even in our foreign policy.
Has the issue of same-sex marriage now been overshadowed by transgender rights?
Well, I think the two go hand in hand. People may not perceive it that way, but as I said, I think with same-sex marriage, once you had Obergefell, it was inevitable that there would be a very strong push on the transgender issue. Once you undermine the reality of male and female in marriage, why not undermine the reality of male and female in everyday life? So, the two go hand in hand. I do think that some people that are quite uncomfortable with, men competing in women's sports will also say, but hey, I'm not like one of those guys that oppose same-sex marriage. Well, they're doing that in order to virtue signal that they're conservative on this, but not on that. I think that it's a failure of reasoning to believe that the two are not very closely connected and that same-sex marriage did not usher in this full-blown assault on biological reality that we see in the whole transgender movement.
Brian Brown is president of the National Organization for Marriage. You'll find a link to the National Organization for Marriage at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Brian, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time.
When we come back, we're going to go through listener email, talk back at issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you looking for Christ-focused posters to adorn your walls? Ad Crucem has some suggestions. Come see our liturgical calendar, the Lord's Prayer, Martin Luther's morning and evening prayers, the three ecumenical creeds, and our sacristy prayer. We also have an appropriate woodcut of Luther attending to plague victims in Wittenberg and another of him administering the sacraments. Stock up for the new school year. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.